Welcome to the first in our series of Distinctive People Conversations. And today I'm really pleased to be joined by Sue Armstrong-Brown, who is Chief Exec of Adoption UK. Welcome, Sue, and thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. So before we start getting your views on organisational culture, which is our topic today, talk us briefly through your background and how you got to be in the role you're in today.
I've got one of those arrival stories that is impossible to replicate because it's so completely unplanned. But if I'd wanted to end up here, I wouldn't have started there and vice versa, but it's all worked out really well. So I actually started life as an adult professional, as an environmental scientist doing research on climate change. And quickly worked out that even though I absolutely love the science, my attention span isn't good enough for a 3-year focus project on one question, and moved into science policy. So trying to take the scientific evidence base and inform policy with it. And from there, because being the sort of person that I am, that wasn't dynamic enough. So I moved into charities and worked in environmental charities on policy development mostly. And I was very happy doing that. And I thought I'd keep doing that for the rest of my career. And then I adopted my daughter. And as so many adoptive parents have found, suddenly your perspective changes. So I was intending to freelance as an environmental consultant for a period of time. And then 4 months into that, I saw the job of Chief Executive of Adoption UK advertised, and very, very quickly decided that this was the only thing I could possibly imagine being satisfied doing, and applied for it, even though it completely cannonballed all of our plans as a family, and got it. And here I am. So it's a vertical learning curve in a completely new sector. It still feels vertical even after 3 years, but I have to admit it was absolutely the right thing for me to do, and I'm loving it.
Excellent. So a really varied career. As you say, you've moved around, you've got your environmental side, your science, your policy, and now charities, and obviously an area you're really passionate about. So you've worked in varied organisations. What does the term organisational culture mean to you, and why do you think it's so important?
I think it's one of those terms that can be bashed around quite a lot. And I'm sure there's a proper definition of it. But for me, it's really the underlying beliefs and values that make the organisation what it is, and it informs the activities. The activities are always driven by the culture, but that's not always a consciously recognised thing. I have seen it described the other way round, where it's the sum of all the activities, but personally that's not how I've ever experienced it in an organisation. It's far more likely to be the underpinning beliefs and values that drive the activities of the organisation.
And values is something that, you know, we at Distinctive People, we talk a lot about values, we talk a lot about mindset, and it is something, as you say, that's so integral in terms of organisational culture. So you've been at Adoption UK 3 years. It's obviously been quite a tough 6 months for everybody and organisations. What have you seen happen at Adoption UK in that time? How has the culture changed and evolved to cope with the pandemic?
It's such an interesting area to explore. And one of the things that we immediately have to acknowledge in this kind of conversation is that part of the cultural shift we've undergone is a shift to remote working. We're all based at home. The organisation moved home 4 days, I think, before lockdown. And so my perception of the culture might be radically different from somebody else's who's sitting at a different converted garage office table or kitchen table or sofa from me. And that is something that I think is very fundamental to how the organisation's changed, that we're all experiencing it rather differently now, and we don't have those common points in offices where teams are gathering and able to spend the day with one another. But to sort of, with that caveat aside, the organisation came into the pandemic with a particular organisation culture that comes from its roots. So Adoption UK was founded by adopters for adopters. And I think that's the central tenet of our culture right from the beginning, is we're here, we are adopters, we're for adopters, we exist to help adoptive families. Something like 90% of the staff and board of trustees are either adopted people themselves or are adopters themselves. And most of the people who don't have that direct family experience of adoption have an indirect family experience of adoption or a professional experience, having worked as social workers or other things that are closely connected with adoption. So that sort of is the heart of us, our culture. The beneficiaries we serve are not remote, they're us. And Adoption UK sits right in the middle of the people that we exist to support. So when that already had expressed itself through the organisation as a very inclusive organisation, a culture that wanted to involve everybody, meet everybody's needs and celebrate as well as be there in the hard times, because it's that rounded understanding of what adoption really is. And I think that's one of the most joyful elements of the organisation's culture, that it isn't distant at all. It's very immediate. It leads to problems because it's very, very difficult to decide what we're going to focus on and what we're not going to do, because since it's also immediate, there's a very strong need in colleagues to try to cover all of the bases and try to be everything for adoptive families. And of course, no organisation can do that. But it's probably a good cultural challenge to have. So that was us going into the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit and we moved everybody home very, very quickly. People suddenly weren't sitting with colleagues and working things out. They were sitting alone and wrestling with technology that perhaps we hadn't used much before. We were very lucky that we'd converted over to Teams the previous year. But me included, I should say, quite a lot of us had spent quite a lot of time trying to avoid having to learn all the new functionality and muddle through with the old system. And so there was certainly a massive challenge immediately to just try to get to grips with the new culture, but the new functionality and the IT. But fortunately, we had it, and it was amazing how quickly that became normal and became mainstreamed. But the thing that I think was most obvious, and the cultural journey that we've been on, and it still makes me feel so proud, is that the organisation, just as one, threw themselves into the challenge. How to fix this? How can we continue to be there for adoptive families? And if this had been a top-down organisation with a central group just trying to decide everything and fix everything, we would have definitely failed. There's no way on earth we could have done that. The central team were fully occupied just trying to keep everybody safe and work out our new flexible and remote ways of working. And what we got was teams all around the organisation grabbing the challenge that they were encountering, coming up with a solution and then sharing it. So we all of, as an example, all of our support groups overnight had to be cancelled. That's one of the main things we do for adoptive families. All of them had to be cancelled because we couldn't meet people. And within a matter of days, we were up and running with online virtual groups and putting in place new delivery online that we hadn't been running before, like a series of expert webinars. And that happened because the organisation and culture was so can do. So what are the needs? How can we meet them? That colleagues felt empowered just to pile in and solve the problems. It was so reassuring to me, sitting where I sat, that I wasn't being visited with an endless stream of problems that were people were asking me to solve. I was being visited with an endless stream of emails saying, "I'm going to do this. Is that okay?" And of course, yes, do it. So we took the decision very early on that we were going to try to avoid furloughing staff as long as we possibly could. And that was a tough decision because, of course, as so many charities, as soon as COVID hit, it opened up an absolutely yawning gulf in our fundraising pipeline. And as a charity, we are literally eating what we kill in terms of having to fundraise to do the work every year. We don't have a huge pile of reserves to fall back on, and we don't have one enormous philanthropic donor that funds everything we do. We have to raise the money every year to spend it every year supporting the families. As soon as COVID interrupted all of our fundraising pipeline, we had an enormous gap in our finances. And this, probably my life would have been a huge amount easier if we'd taken the decision to furlough a lot of staff and save the costs of keeping going. But that would have meant switching off our services. And I'm another nice little bit of reflection on the organisational culture is that was never something that anybody seriously proposed until our backs were absolutely against the wall. It was always almost a given that we would carry on delivering support services for adoptive families until we couldn't. So we had the support. And this is an absolutely lovely thing that I know not everybody in my position can count on. We had the support of the Board of Trustees to try to make it work. Obviously, there was an end point on that if we hadn't been able to make it work by an agreed point, we would have turned to cost shedding. But they were with us every step of the way to try to get emergency funding in and carry on delivering our services. So top to bottom of the organisation, everybody put their shoulder to the wheel and just said, how can we close the support gap for adoptive families? How can we keep the organisation going? How can we solve the problems? How can we communicate using the new tools that we have and keep the show on the road? And the show is on the road. So that's my insight into how the AUK culture responded when the chips were really down. And it was probably chaotic and terrifying, but effective, and got us to where we needed to be. So I think our organisation culture, it obviously needs to keep going and keep developing. And there are certainly some holes where we need to do some hard thinking about how we feel, to do with how we develop systems and processes internally that underpin the culture. But I think what we have seen is the strength and the collaborative will of the organisation to get the job done, even when the external environment is very, very challenging. And that's something that I think we can rely on going forward.
And as you said, small organisations, so the whole sounds like everyone's been incredibly adaptable, and you've been able to be agile as an organisation, which, you know, as you say, the whole ethos of the organisation with working for service users, trying to make sure that those services continue, you know, that's all about mindset and attitude and creative thinking. You know, how do we deliver these services? And presumably, you know, the people who are accessing those services will have really benefited from the continuity of those being maintained during COVID, when things are presumably getting tougher for everybody else at home as well.
That was the huge motivator, I think, for colleagues right across the organisation. Was we did a piece of research, and this is another thing, we tried to maintain our knowledge base even when we had a really good reason to pull the covers over our heads and say, we just don't know, it's all too difficult. We quickly did a survey, and I mean, this is something I didn't know about this until it was already out as a live survey collecting feedback from adopters. That's how quickly the communications team realised we were going to need to collect some information very fast about what the adoptive families' needs were under lockdown. But we collated that information, which showed what the areas of particular need were that families were experiencing. And at the same time, we were in contact with a lot of the statutory partners that we have, who were telling us how pressured they were, and realised there was a large support gap opening that adoptive families were facing at the same time as they were themselves experiencing increased pressures on family relations as a result of the stresses and strains of COVID. So I have to say that was probably one of the biggest motivators for colleagues to come up with an ability to respond, because it wasn't like we could take our time and work out what our best play was going to be. We had to do it yesterday. I've completely forgotten what your question was while I was thinking about the challenge and how we had to respond to it.
Well, looking forward now, in terms of the question I want to ask you about is, you know, you've had 6 months, we've gone through a huge amount of change, you've had support of the trustees, you've had the support of the staff, you've had people creative, thinking on their feet, making sure things continue. Looking forward now for Adoption UK, how is that culture going to continue to shift? You know, what are you doing to positively influence the culture and what you've learned and taken on board during this difficult time?
It's a really good question. So I think there are quite a lot of strengths that have emerged that I want really to build on, capture and build on, to do with that agility and that creativity that got us through the first 6 months. And the trust, I think the trust in staff is something we want to continue to build on. I think we were able to evidence that at the start by telling, one of the things we did was to say, everybody's off a time defined contract and on an output defined contract, knowing that a lot of people were facing totally changed home responsibilities and family and caring responsibilities, children off school. There was no use trying to expect people to work their hours. So we switched to an outcome based agreement that was just organised, not even via HR, but between staff and their managers, because there was no time to do anything else. But that required a very strong investment of trust in staff and in managers to be able to make good decisions very quickly that would work for colleagues right across the organisation. I think that's paid off. I think that we certainly haven't seen people backing off. In fact, I think we've seen people working harder. And my concern is more that people don't drive themselves into the ground trying to do what's needed in the crisis. But I want to continue to build on that trust that we've very clearly signalled and established across the organisation, and hope that we can get it to being a more overt two-way trust, that colleagues know what they can rely on the organisation to do for them, and the organisation knows what individual colleagues, end of the bargain, is. I think there's a long way we can go with that idea, especially since it doesn't look like we're going to be back to a normal way of working soon. So I want to be able to build on that. I want to be able to build on the common strength of purpose that the organisation managed to evidence. One of the things we wrestle with, and I know lots of other organisations are in this boat, is that we are a dispersed organisation. We have 4 national offices across 4 countries of the UK. And we work in a rapidly diverging devolution environment. So adoption policy is set nationally. We've got 4 different ones and all heading in different directions. And we're a very, very small organisation trying to keep up with that and stay relevant everywhere. And we need to, because there are adopters everywhere. So we need to be where the adopters are. That's a big challenge. It's in some ways been made easier by the shift to remote working, because everybody can join a call on an equal footing rather than have some people in a room and others joining remotely. So that's been a strength which I hope that we can build on and keep that going forward as we continue to work in the devolved context. But I think that the danger that it throws up is that you can get small sub-communities and subcultures forming within the organisation that aren't that visible elsewhere, and they tend to only become visible when there's been a communication mishap or a problem resulting from 2 different sets of assumptions that have suddenly collided. So I think one of our challenges going forward, and assuming we keep working virtually, is to maintain that cohesion. A crisis is a great morale booster in some ways, because everybody's got the same agenda, but as we settle into this as more of a normal way of working, I think we need to work harder to maintain that common purpose and that shared goal right across the organization. And I'm not sure how I'm going to do that yet. I think that that's a big discussion to have with colleagues. They will all be able to share their ideas about it as well. One of the things that's come back to me is people saying it's been so nice to talk to colleagues outside their teams that they might not otherwise have been able to do. And under this way of working, it's been a great leveler, and people have had more contact outside their teams. So we need to keep that going.
Yeah, and communication is key. And as you say, trying to keep that momentum, so the initial crisis is over, everyone's hands on deck. How do we keep that up and actually take all those really good things that have happened in terms of the organisational culture and how you've coped with it, and kind of build on that for the future? And I mean, for us, this is a fascinating topic and we could talk all day on it. It does sound like there's exciting things ahead for Adoption UK as well. And, you know, thanks so much for your time today, Sue, in talking to us about it. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you.
It's my very great pleasure. And I could have carried on talking to you about this for a lot longer.
Thanks ever so much.